Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It is time for another edition of the sports page on KAXE. Trying to get Fred Friedman on the line. I think we have accomplished both of that. It's Kyle and Fred, you both there?
Morning, John.
Yes,
Fred, I'm here.
Fred, are you riding on a train?
No, I just took you off speaker. You should be able to hear me right now.
Perfect now. So we're going to start off with something that we want to... Let's talk about the NFL draft. Is that That's tonight, right?
It starts tonight, yes.
And, Kyle, are we going to do the BAV, the acronym BAV for this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Best available? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, best available, yeah.
I am all for best available player in this draft as long as the best available player is an offensive lineman.
Fred, I think
Good
you agree.
Expression. Great expression.
But we always get surprises. Last year we got a spectacular receiver. But it always ends up seeming that Zimmer gets what he wants for defense, and he's got to be smart enough, wise enough, that we need an offensive lineman. And I hear there are a plethora of them, and they say that you might even be able to get them in the second round. I don't even know if I'd wait, would you?
Well, offensive line is one position where a high draft pick doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be a superstar, and being drafted in the third, fourth, fifth round doesn't mean that you might struggle to make the roster, so I'm not closed off to that idea. It's worth noting, I think, that they need probably three offensive linemen. they could really use two improved starters, or at least one starter and some better depth, because you know the guys in the trenches are going to get hurt. So it wouldn't surprise me to see an offensive lineman maybe in round two, and then see them take, you know, three of them maybe in later rounds, and hope one or two of them stick.
Fred, what are you thinking? If you're Spielman,
I think Chris Spielman, our general manager, has a long history of not drafting offensive linemen, and the ones that he has drafted, the kid from USC that got hurt before his 25th birthday, Bradbury has just been ordinary. He hasn't been very good at that. But you don't know. I'll remind you that Jerry Burns was opposed to them drafting one of the four greatest offensive guards in the history of the league, named Randall McDaniel, who's in every Hall of Fame there is. And you want to talk about a community leader. He's a third-grade teacher in the Minneapolis suburbs. And they didn't want to draft him.
Yeah, and scouting and stuff has been a different story this year with the virus. So
much harder.
Oh, yeah.
I should note that the Vikings don't have a second-round draft pick this year, I'm remembering now. And Uncle Google tells me they have two picks in the third round and four picks in the fourth round due to some trades that they've made. So it'll give some flexibility with them, where if they see a guy they like slipping a little bit in the mid rounds, they can trade up or just kind of stockpile talent. And like you said, scouting is an inexact science at best in the NFL, and with COVID, it's even tougher. So a lot of uncertainty going into this draft.
Fred,
so they're two my favorite draft choices: Laquan Treadwell, terrible; Troy Williamson, terrible. Two wide receivers. They've made some good calls, and they've made some bad calls too. But we've been talking for years that their offensive line is a big problem.
They got to get them. It's what they got to do. Hey, you left out Marty McDowell.
Oh yes.
Probably one of
Marty McDowell. How about Leo Hayden? He was a number five overall pick. Oh my God!
Well, and you know, we talk about how the Timberwolves infamously passed twice in the draft on Steph Curry, the greatest shooter who has ever played in the NBA.
Ever.
The Minnesota Vikings passed twice in the draft on Aaron Rodgers, who is absolutely a top 10 all-time quarterback on anybody's list.
Good exact. Do you guys remember when they drafted a first-round choice from Michigan State named Demetrius Underwood?
Oh, yeah.
And he quit after the first day of practice.
Yeah.
He was one of the guys, if I'm remembering right, who they drafted when they could have taken Aaron Rodgers.
I think that's right.
Oh, boy, to be in that, what do they call it, the something room, the...
The war room.
Good luck with that. So let's move on to our spectacular Minnesota Twins. And there's a guy on our team that reminds me a lot of Ron Davis. Do you know who that is, Fred?
Well, I only talk about it every week. You guys all make fun of me. You quote statistics and sabermetrics as he was good with the Angels once upon a time. Of course, you're talking about Colomby, who's personally responsible for 5 losses. I know our senior correspondent says I'm too hard on him, but what have you done for me lately? He's brutal.
It's so interesting. He had last year one of the 5 best seasons by a reliever ever in baseball history, and was very, very good for 2 years prior to that and pretty solid for his whole career. And now this year, he is having so far one of the worst seasons by a reliever in baseball history. And, you know, the Twins have struggled and won just 1 out of every 3 games. If he had done his job, they would be an above 500 baseball team and there wouldn't be all this panic in Twins territory.
Twins territory, I love that.
So if he's so good, why did the Angels let him go? He's only $6 million. If he's so good, why'd they let him go?
Well, he was with the White Sox last year, I don't know what it is, Fred. He isn't an overpowering guy, and you guys know that I do not like the Twins' habit of signing not overpowering relief pitchers because that is not the direction the game is headed. You need guys who can throw high 90s. You need guys with a wipeout slider, and you do not need pitch-to-contact guys at the back end of your bullpen. So, but he made his living being able to pinpoint his cut fastball and his slider. And now this year, he cannot locate either pitch at all. And when you only throw 91, 92, you don't have a lot of margin for error.
Yeah, he's not threading the needle now. He's sticking his finger a lot. For people don't know who we're talking about, didn't happen to catch the game, a couple games ago, the Twins were fighting their way back. They had a 1-run lead. They brought him in, struck out the first 2 guys, proceeded to walk 3 and strike to hit 2, 1 in the head. They brought in another reliever. He hit another guy in the head, and they scored 2 runs in 32 minutes without putting a ball in play. Wow.
I was very worried that game was going to end in a brawl.
Yeah, I know.
Very worried.
Okay, let's move on. Well, first of all, we cannot deny Buxton. Holy cow.
This is what has made it tolerable for me to watch the Twins flail around in the bullpen this year. Byron Buxton, for years, ever since he was, the number 2 pick overall in the draft?
Yeah.
Correct.
Was touted as a future superstar, and because of injuries and struggles to find a consistent hitting approach and tinkering with his mechanics at the plate, we were worried that he was going to be another in the long line of busts in Twins history. But this year, you know, his stats are like something from a video game. He has been one of the best players in baseball, and it doesn't look like it's just a fluky little sample. It looks like he knows what he's doing.
He's hitting .430. He's the player of the month in baseball, if you think about it, the offensive player. People ask me, who do I compare him with? And Scott talked about Willie Mays, and he does look like play like Willie Mays. But you know who he reminds me of the most is Mickey Mantle. And I want to tell you all why in just one sentence. When he's healthy, he's the best by far. Offense, defense, running, throwing, everything. But he's hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Now, here's hoping he can stay healthy.
Well said.
Let's talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I would like one, Kyle or Fred. Maybe we'll get legal advice from Fred. Is the Timberwolves have won three in a row now?
Four out of five.
And is it hurting them? Do they have? What's the situation? Is it just percentages that they lose ping pong balls if they don't finish in the worst three record?
So in an effort, starting back in the 80s when Patrick Ewing was the presumptive number one pick and teams, that's when the tanking era started. Teams tried to lose in order to get a franchise-changing player. The NBA has struggled for decades to figure out a way to stop that or reduce it. Where it sits now is you don't automatically get the number one pick if you have the worst record. The bottom three records in the league, if I remember this right, all get the same number of ping pong balls in the draft lottery, and then the fourth worst record gets somewhat fewer, and the fifth worst record gets somewhat fewer than that, and then after that it drops off quite a bit. So with four wins and five games, the Timberwolves are now in a three-way tie for the second worst record in the league. So as long as they don't drop past like the fourth worst record, they still stand a good chance of getting a top three draft pick out of the lottery. If they don't, if they fall below third in the draft, they lose that pick to the Golden State Warriors. And they definitely need more talent on the team, but Timberwolves fans have to be heartened by the difference in the team with Chris Finch, the new head coach as of a couple of months ago, having some time to get his system in, with having a healthy roster for the first time. And if you have gone to sleep on the Wolves because they were so bad for so long, turn on Bally Sports North and watch them, because they're a really fun team to watch right now.
Yeah, if they can get one more, you can get a good player. They are pretty decent. They got some guys that really play hard on defense. And, they're fun to watch. Fred, do you have any comments on this?
Only this. Magic Johnson, Irvin Johnson says the systemic problem is all, we all know what the problem is. Is that by consensus, when there's one or two or three players in the draft that are light years ahead of everybody else, it works when people don't agree who the top half dozen players are. It does not work when a couple players are far better than everybody else. Like Ewing's a perfect example, when everybody knows who's going to be the number one pick.
Senior,
and that's what encouraged losing, you know?
Yeah. Senior correspondent, go ahead, Kyle.
I was just going to say, it's interesting, too, because last season when the Wolves had the top draft pick, people were kind of groaning because it was viewed before the draft as being one of the weaker draft classes in history.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, why would we get the top pick and there's nobody to pick? Whew. With almost one season under the belt, this draft class from last year is actually looking really good, and the Timberwolves scouting department got to give them kudos, because it looks like they got the best or the second best player out of the draft. And
I will remember you guys 8-10 years ago. The number one consensus draft pick was a kid from Ohio State, from an Indianapolis high school named Gregory Oden, got hurt in preseason and never played.
Wow.
Never played.
Yep. Yeah. Well, senior correspondent Scott Hall was burning the wood last night. He's working hard on getting us some trivia, so we might as well do it. Do you agree? Or
absolutely. I'll be quiet. YouTube, no TV today. No soup. Tell me when to talk.
I, of course, have the answers, so I think we should do this like Jeopardy or something. Whoever hits the buzzer first, because...
All right.
So don't think you got to hold back, Fred. Minnesota athletes currently professional sports are among the elite of their sport. For example, Olympic gold medalist Jesse Diggins, Vikings receiver Adam Thielen, Wild forward Zach Parise. Here's the first question. Vikings fullback and Duluth Denfeld graduate.
C.J. Ham.
C.J. Ham.
We're going with Fred. I heard the buzzer. Lakeville North High School graduate and University of Minnesota Big Ten all-time leading scorer currently playing for the Minnesota Lynx.
Buzz Whalen. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Don't know.
Come on, you guys.
Oh, what is it? Rachel Bannon?
Yes. That's kind of tricky because they just got her. Washington Nationals relief pitcher previously at Cleveland and San Diego.
Oh, I know a kid from Chaska, Brad Hand, played for
Cleveland. You go. He uses his hand.
Very good.
Yep. I'm a little bit concerned, Fred. You're behind. Are you wiping your brow with a sweat rag? University of Minnesota alum and current Winnipeg Jets forward. Kyle, you have a chance to blow him out of the water.
You know hockey's not my wheelhouse.
He hates hockey.
So. You get initials?
What are those things that you drive around out in the woods that have got four wheels on them?
Well, John, I'd call that a four-wheeler.
That's your clue. My goodness.
Oh, man.
Blake Wheeler.
I'd have sat here all day.
Get ready. You both know this one. Memphis Grizzlies guard.
That I didn't hear.
Memphis Grizzlies guard.
Oh, Tyus Jones.
Yep.
Yep.
Former Gopher and Baltimore Raven, now Arizona Cardinals tight end.
Williams. Max Williams.
Nice. Fred, you're gonna have to win out. Chisholm native and Olympic gold medalist in curling.
Kovar, what's his name? I can't remember how you pronounce his name.
I can sense nervousness here.
Where the only curler I know is Joe Polo.
Well, his initials are JS.
I don't know. Stevner, I can't remember his name.
John Schuster.
Sure.
Arizona Coyotes defenseman from Grand Rapids. Holy smokes.
Too much hockey. I don't know hockey.
Went to the U. He was a stud at the U. Alex? First name's Alex?
No idea.
Oh, my goodness. Alex Alex Goligoski.
With the Wild playing so well, it's a good prompt for me to start following hockey more. There's no reason not to.
And it seems like here, good to end with this one. And I don't know, I think, Kyle, you got it in the bag, but we'll say if Fred gets this one, which he won't, you're going to win. Wild forward in Minnesota hockey, Mr. Minnesota Hockey in 2010 from Blaine, Minnesota.
Oh, man. Trying to go through the roster. Fred, any ideas?
No.
We'll call it a tie if you nail this one down.
What's a coin that's worth 5 cents?
Well, that's nickel.
Okay. Part of that word is his first name.
Nicholas. I don't know.
Bugstad.
There you go. Oh, boy. Fred, you're going to have your tail between your legs today.
Whew. Yeah, it's brutal.
I'm about 2 in 137 lifetime against Fred now.
Yeah, but you'd still make $180,000 a year. Thanks, guys.
Have a good
day,
John.
Take care, everybody. Stay healthy.